Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. It is another Wednesday night live on Facebook, and we're talking getting physical with Mitch and Bill, working out. What are you doing on the physical side of FSHD? That's usually where we head this conversation. And you can chime in with us if you'd like. You can use the Facebook little chat comment section there. Please do that. We'd love to hear what you have to say, maybe what you're doing for a workout, questions you have on how to maintain a workout, or maybe things that you need help or direction with. This is your time to ask those questions. We also have the email open. You can use that as well, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. is where you can send those, but probably your fastest response time is going to be through the comments if you can go that route. So we welcome in Bill and Mitch. You guys are the workout superstars of the FSHD community. You've been featured on a lot of the videos, very popular Instagram within the community that Mitch has for us. So we're going to do all these great workouts and kind of guide us in the right direction. We welcome you both again on another episode. So thanks for being here, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thanks for having us. Yes.
I'm all set. I got my Gatorade ready to go, you know, really working out, ready to hit it. So
get the electrolytes going.
Get the electrolytes going for no particular reason. No. I had a baseball practice with the kids prior to this. I had to be a catcher a little bit and get a squat. That was something.
There you go.
That's something.
Good for you.
Oh yeah. It's a little unorthodox, my stance, but I got it done.
right on. I love it.
So what kind of direction you guys want to head into for this conversation in this month's physical conversation here of FSHD?
We've got a couple of kind of different things to bring to attention. Last month we talked a little bit about having a plan and having a schedule, you know, knowing how to have success. And a lot of times it's just really so much as, you know, setting up a plan, being organized for, you know, how you're going to make it happen, whether it's, you know, creating the time, having a workout space in your house, you know,
right,
putting little post-it notes somewhere, just making it to the point that you remember and that it's, you know, on the brain and then we get it done. You know, eventually we create the habits and then eventually we start craving those habits. So, you know, certain things like that, it's really just about figuring out what works best for you.
Right.
You know, do you live in a really nice place so you can go outside and walk? Fantastic. Mm. Do you live somewhere cold and rainy? Do you need to get a treadmill or some kind of an apparatus inside? Fantastic. You know, make it happen. So we wanted to go there a little bit and just talk about more so of this is going to be, I already told Bill and warned him, you know, there'll be a lot of his input here. I want you guys to hear what he does. You know, there's some things at home that we have kind of jumped into with new experiences because we're doing much more Zoom right now with some of the city shutdowns between COVID. So, you know, we have to make do, you know, and we can't just not move and get our exercises in just because of some, you know, small limitations. So yes, I know COVID is a little bit of a bigger than small limitation, but you know, we got to take it as a small limitation because we all still have the freedom to move, you know, and most of us have the space in our house or apartment or condo, you know, or hallway or whatever you got to do, you know,
right,
figure out a creative spot to make it happen. So, you know, with that said, you know, obviously, yes, like I was kind of starting outside is fantastic. You know, there still is, you know, parks that are open. You can go out for walks. You can make things happen in your yard. That's awesome. We live in a place where it's a little colder, so it's much easier to create those excuses. I know, Tim over here with his terrible towel, Pittsburgh Steelers. I know he lives in a little bit of a colder area too. So, you know, with excuses, it's easier to create them.
Right.
So Bill, what would you say is kind of a, you know, and I've got one thing kind of in mind, that you use for kind of a little bit more of cardio at home that just kind of gives you the reminder to keep cardio, you know, your cardiovascular system still moving?
Well, in the winter, I'm not biking as much. So I use a treadmill desk, and I combine that with music or lectures that I like to listen to. And so that's my cardio. And I also do some balance exercises on that. And I will do some strength training and some endurance stuff off the treadmill upstairs. We have some weights and the TRX straps. I made the mistake today. It was a miserably rainy, cold day of riding my bike outside. And these new rain pants
that I purchased,
they were not waterproof. In fact, I had a little puddle soak in my underpants that made me miserable.
That sounds about right. Yeah. It was pretty rainy today too, so that was one of your benefit.
It was not good, but it is good to schedule something with a friend. So I have like this weekly bike ride up to Pittock that I do with my friend, and that's nice to have. And then often with Judy in the mornings, we'll do some of the exercises that Mitch has outlined for us both on days when I'm not seeing him in one-on-one training sessions. I think it's important to have the habits.
Let me reverse this on you a little bit and first say, you know, yes, it sounds like you had a little bit of a cold and wet experience on your adventure today, but afterwards, were you mad that you did it?
No, but that's like, you know, when you knock your head repeatedly against the wall, does it feel good when you stop? You betcha. No, I'm joking aside. I like, you know, getting the blood moving. Mm-hmm. It feels good to go out.
And you prepared.
Because I know that I'm going to get warm and dry.
Right.
And take my shower.
What was it that you said to me on Tuesday when we were training, and then you told me that you were going to go do Pittock, you know, the next day? And I said, oh, is it going to be nice? What did you say?
I plan on going regardless. I knew it wasn't going to be nice.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We got to make it happen.
What used to be a big, big effort,
right?
What used to be an overwhelming effort for me is now more of a routine. I need to expand the ride to include maybe more of a route, you know, combine it with another hill climb, so that I'm growing, and that's great.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the treadmill a little bit here, and a couple of the things that we've talked about on the treadmill, how do you change it up? I mean, I would say if it was just
stale?
Normal walking, does that get boring? Are you, you know, are we doing a faster pace? Are we doing a slower pace? Are we walking? Are we, you know, kind of fast walking? What do you do on the treadmill there?
Well, I do mix it up because it could be boring. And part of the reason why I'm listening to, you know, podcasts or lectures is to make it more interesting. But if I change the speed, you know, for me, 2 miles an hour is reasonable. But if I bring it up to 2.5 or 3 miles an hour for a couple of minutes, and then I slow it back down, and then I bring it up and bring it down again, it's more challenging. And I think it will translate into better endurance on the bike or elsewhere. It's not just putting in my time. I do have to stretch myself.
Okay,
so I try to put in, you know, when I do this, 30 minutes is my goal, but it's not just 30 minutes of trudging until it's done. I'm trying to build up from where I was before, and not every day. Some days I'm just sort of coasting relatively. I'm not pushing myself very hard.
Absolutely.
But the idea is growth. I don't want just to maintain. I want to grow.
I want to grow. Does it help? You mentioned that you did a bike ride then with your friend. Does that help to have that like appointment you set, so there's a little bit of accountability to kind of keep you motivated?
Absolutely. I can't let him down.
Right.
I can't let this friend down. So I can curse the weather, but I'll still show up. And And I think it also works for him too. It makes it easier for him to go out and get some exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. It's a commitment.
Yes.
It creates a more of a binding commitment than a promise that you make to yourself and you can just, you know, renege on it. But when you make it with someone else, it adds a little bit of, it puts something on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's good. Like we said, you got to have the plan for the success to be, you know, present for the most part. Yeah, some people can get lucky a time or two, but, you know, for deep success and long-term success, we usually got to have some kind of a plan. You know, you got to listen to your program. You got to keep track of certain things. And it's also usually motivating too. When you see things progress or you see that, you know, the actual work that you put in. You know, I was talking about this on a podcast with the other gentleman that I do, and it was about gadgets. Mm. And so gadgets just kind of help you, you know, stay in line, you know. And one of the gadgets that I'd say a lot of us keep nowadays is how many steps we had.
Yeah.
And there are certain days that, you know, if I go and play golf or if I go for a long walk, you know, yeah, it's a lot more steps. And there's certain days that if I maybe did some strength training, it's not as many steps, but I still taxed myself. But, you know, at the end of the day, do I usually know how many steps I've taken? Oh yeah. You know, like I totally know. You know, do I necessarily give myself a hard time? No. You know, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, that's like the crucial part of it. But do I also kind of feel like, oh, nice. Okay, yeah, that was a good day. Like, you know, I got a lot of movement in today. You know, just certain things like that can even be a little bit of accountability, you know, and then people, you know, I have clients that will, you know, just go for a little extra walk after dinner because they want to get to their certain amount of steps, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's a number out there that everybody says 10,000 steps a day is, you know, kind of the right way to go. I'm not saying that actually whatsoever. It's really, that's just a general rule of thumb, you know, and we want to be able to have quantitative measurements though, that we can keep ourselves, you know, accountable to. So know what your limits are, know what yours are on a regular average, you know, pretty sedentary day. And on more days out of the week, you should probably try to get more, you know, and that's a pretty simple little goal to give yourself of saying, you know, this week I'm going to try to get X amount, you know, more or just a certain amount in specific and, you know, just trying to keep yourself, you know, accountable and on track.
Yeah, it's, I think you guys are hitting it like for me, like I'll start thinking, okay, I'm going to get this done. This is a good goal, or these are new exercises I'm going to try and do. And if it gets stale or if it gets old or if it gets too routine, I have a tendency to kind of drift away and I have to find something to get my attention back to it. And I like the gadget idea, or like what I like is like gear. I'm big into gear. If it's like bands or something that I can do and go, I'm going to try this, you know, like I just committed and purchased this or something. So I'm going to use it. Do you have any, you know, do you guys work with any of the bands? Like, since everybody knows I'm this baseball guy, so I use these Jaeger bands, you know, with the little wrist things, and then it's got the big long elastic, you know, stretchy band thing, and then you do the different workouts. You guys have that kind of in your routine at all?
Yep. Bill, I'm going to let you go with this one.
Mitch gets a lot of his equipment from Acme. That's where Wile E. Coyote gets his big rubber bands. he will create new.
At first I was going, where is he going with this?
I know. I was like, really? Acme? That's wild.
Yeah, Acme. Exactly. He'll create these little machines, which, you know, I worry a little bit sometimes when he puts them on me, but we do resistance.
You'll be
training.
Fine, Bill. I promise.
This won't hurt very much.
Yeah, very much. Not at all.
we tried bands for arms and for the legs. And Judy, my wife, uses them more than I do, but yeah, with the one-on-one sessions in person and sometimes at home, I'll be using those bands.
Hmm. Let's talk about the red one though. You know, I mean, I started working with you before I did with your wife, and you know, I gave you a band to take home. What was kind of the purpose of that? Hmm. You remember that one, the red band?
Is that for the a hip abduction?
Yeah, I mean, well, that one too. And then we also just gave you, because it was a little bit of that longer band. We have those smaller bands that are about maybe 10 to 14 inches in diameter. I think some of them kind of range differently. And then they have different, you know, tensions and resistance, you know, levels. So you can do that for your side steps. People put it around their ankles a lot, They'll put it around their knees, put it on their wrist. There's a lot of different, you know, kind of brands of bands like that out there now. There's also bands that are about, what would you say, Bill, maybe 2.5 feet, 3 feet long. You can see some of them hanging right behind me, actually. Yeah. You know, and those bands, those are very versatile. So we'll put everything in the sense of being able to assist people with squats, being able to assist people with push-ups, being able to assist people with, you know, some kind of a row or a press. The band that me and Bill were using specifically that I gave him was a red band that is probably level 2 or so out of 8. And level 8 is a little bit like that Wile E. Coyote. I mean, I could probably slingshot somebody across the room. So, you know, if you don't necessarily, you know, you don't need level 8. It's a little crazy unless you have some, unless you got some really specific plans. And hey, if you got them, rock and roll. Yeah. But with this resistance level 2, Bill was able to hold down with his hands and then put his foot in it and just push away. So he's really just creating a simple leg press.
Yeah.
So this was towards the beginning of our
time ago.
Long time ago, my man.
Yeah.
But I did see Judy pull out the band just a couple of weeks ago. So I know you still have it. So it is present. It's used. And there's a lot of different things you can do with them. So again, this band, I want to say it's probably $7 to $10, and it's on EliteFTS.com, EliteFitness.com. Those are the bands that I get personally, and I've used them kind of my whole training career. Wonderful, wonderful bands. There's tons of them, though. So, you know, you can look in different ones. Rogue has them. Steel Brand, I think, is one of them. You know, lots of different varieties there and different prices, so choose what's best for you. But, you know, we don't need anything that is crazy. You don't need a full gym. You can even just use a resistance band and maybe a couple different styles of resistance and give yourself a pretty good workout.
I know that not everyone has the opportunity to work with a trainer. But in the years when I tried to work out without Mitch, I found that I would repeat some exercises over and over, and I kind of plateaued. I wasn't really... gaining, I was not even holding my own, I don't think. So one of the advantages of having someone look at you objectively is say, well, this is where you're good, but this is where you're weak, and you need to build this up. And then how to break down that weakness and design some exercises that will allow you incrementally to build up. Mm-hmm. So some of the exercises that we started with we'll do as warm-ups, but some of them are not part of my routine at all. I've kind of grown out of some of the exercises that you set up with me originally.
Okay.
So I don't want to discount. I don't think you can buy, you know, some bands or buy some equipment and essentially get a trainer workout. It's not quite the same.
Yep. I mean, I would agree, as well as, you know, I've had trainers in my past as well. And there's nothing like somebody else taking care of you, you know, and that's the truth with going to the dentist. It's the truth with going to doctors, you know, primary care doctors that maybe know you a little bit, are able to give you a piece of advice that maybe a doctor that didn't know you was able to give you, because everybody is different. So Bill does make a great point there, you know, and does it need to be a trainer necessarily like myself? Yeah, sure. Does it have to be? No. But, you know, you need to be picky on yourself. You need to really kind of pay attention. And I think a partner, you know, having a workout partner is huge. And Tim kind of brought that up a little bit ago of, you know, having that accountability is great. But then also having that sense of, okay, well, here, you watch me, you know, watch me and see what I'm doing. How does it look? You know, I have a cue that I use to people a lot where I just say, make it look pretty. And it's you know, I feel pretty, it seems kind of almost simple, stupid, you know, where I'm going like, wow, I mean, you know, that's all I really had to do. And it all of a sudden changed, but you know, and that's not necessarily the truth. I've usually gone through much more description with them at a certain point. And then while they're working out, I can say, just make it look pretty. And, you know, when people think about flow and rhythm, that's the idea. It does. It usually looks pretty. I know, I think of like inline skaters or ice skaters, you know, figure skaters. They're amazing. You know, they just float through the air, land, and, you know, slide right off. And, you know, we're trying to make movements look pretty. And how do we do that? Well, you can break movements down. You can have regressions and progressions to certain things, you know, and it can make a really big difference. But kind of my point again, though, is having somebody there watching you. if you don't have somebody there watching you, use our awesome handy dandy, you know, videos that we have on our, most of our phones nowadays.
Right.
You know, I don't know what you guys have, but I have an iPhone and I've been incredibly impressed with iPhone cameras and videos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can slow them down. You can go in slow motion, see some certain things and look for imbalances, mm-hmm. you know, see if maybe one side or the other, or just if you're using both arms, if you know, if you're pressing overhead, does one stop and one doesn't, you know, and one goes all the way up. Well, you know, that's something that you want to try to focus on so you can have a little bit more quality of movement to improve the quality of life. On that note, I want to kind of talk about how to do some of these tests. And please, doing unilateral movements is probably one of the best way to see asymmetries. So that's whether or not we're talking about FSHD or if we're talking about, you know, somebody that is just asymmetrical from having their mouse on their right hand, or they drive a stick shift, or they drive an automatic and they never use their left foot, you know, or they're just right hand dominant or left hand dominant. So, you know, a lot of left handed people usually live in the right handed world. So they're usually weirdly ambidextrous. And I have multiple of those clients. They're kind of fun. But I am not. I am right handed. I'm very right handed and very right legged dominant. So, you know, I have fixed a lot of that. But I actually ended up becoming in a lot of pain in certain areas because I was so dominant that way.
Wow.
You know, and I played a lot of very powerful sports that I just did over and over and over and over. And then I started getting some weird pains, back pains, you know, yada, yada. I can make a list for you if you'd like, but it's, you know, it's more so instead of dwelling on that list, it's figuring out the list to make it better. Balance okay. yourself out, you know, balance on one leg. Swing some weight or like clap your hands in front of you and then behind you and see how easy it is to hand, or, you know, balance on the left leg compared to the right leg or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those little plans go a long ways to having, you know, you create success. But a lot of times, yes, a trainer is fantastic. A workout group is fantastic, like some kind of a gym class, you know, or just a workout partner in general. Use Zoom. You know, I know Zoom is kind of the way to go right now because of a lot of our, you know, limitations through COVID. So, you know, find some kind of a class or Zoom, you know, look it up on Google. There's a lot of things out there right now because there's trainers that are also not training who want to get involved with people through Zoom, through online virtual training. Sure. So there are options out there. We just got to kind of be proactive and look.
But now how about, you know, I love the idea of like getting involved with a trainer. There was a couple years ago, I was involved with one too, and he had to kind of research a little bit of FSHD, what that was about. We had a long conversation, you know, prior, and in a physical evaluation was within that, and that was extensive. Even said this is longer than usual because of what he was trying to educate himself with. So that to me, you know, in lies the issue that I can just feel some of maybe the questions that people have in the regards of. But I have FSHD, so if I want to join a class on Zoom or something else, how am I doing that, you know, with the typical athlete out there, not the FSHD person trying to work out or just stay mobile? And I don't know, maybe Bill can answer to some of that too. You know, I mean, that's maybe how you found Mitch to some degree. But where do they look?
Well, I've attended sort of like low-impact yoga classes or sort of like classes for people who are elderly or more frail. I mean, I am not afraid of embarrassing myself if it allows me to improve my movement. And I think that's important, but not all trainers will be receptive. It's important to find someone who's willing, who's humble enough to know that he doesn't know everything or she doesn't know everything and is willing to learn. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you've been kicking around this idea of creating a class, a group class for FSHD people. And I think that it's not going to be as wonderful as one-on-one time with a trainer, but a lot of the issues that, you know, one student would have in a group class would be similar to issues another student would have if they all have FSH and have
right.
similar you know, types of issues. So I don't know how close are you to moving on that, Mitch?
Yeah, I've got a couple of different ideas kind of floating around the brain right now. There's a couple of life events that I'm involved in right now sure. that are going to keep me very busy for a couple of weeks. But I'm looking to try to get these started sometime, you know, mid-January. And
oh, wow, cool.
I've got a few different ideas. You know, mid-January would be great, so I don't want to overpromise and underserve here. So do take me in consideration of maybe a little bit delayed there. But, you know, somewhere around that time would be awesome. I want to start dropping the seeds. And, you know, this is really a great way for me to see if people would be interested in that too. You know, and what the idea is here is really to train, not work out. Mm-hmm. So the difference between training and working out is, you know, we're training the body to learn. We're teaching the brain. We're teaching the body of how to do, you know, and sometimes some of these just little tricks of the trade that Bill and I have figured out. I figured out with a couple of other FSHD clients that I've been working with as well. You know, half of my experience really just comes from being hands-on with my people. So, you know, a lot of that adjustments and seeing what works for some and doesn't work for others, you know, we're going to want to try to include all together. So, you know, we'll probably have little focuses for the class. The idea, you know, is really similar to what we do here on the radio shows and what we used to do in the Facebook webinars, but actually do it and make people, you know, not just tell us, man, that was awesome, but get up and do it. You know, let's try it. So, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about here is, I mean, hey, it's all fun to say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, where is everybody? You know, and we got to make that happen. So, you know, and that's a part of, you know, I tell this to people too, that, you know, working out is not easy or else, you know, I wouldn't have a job if it was, you know, because that's half of it too is, you know, I mean, I got to keep people accountable. I got to make sure they are here. I got to make sure I contact them and, you know, give them reminders. And so even if they do remember, you know, I'm giving a reminder the day before, so they really can't forget.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, having those pushes and the classes that you can sign up for is a great way to kind of keep that into the agenda and the schedule. So, you know, I would love to do maybe a once a week at first. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm totally open to go into a twice a week type deal. I want to accommodate to people on different time zones and, you know, different areas of the world, because I've been contacted from people in India and Denmark. Wow. And, you know, in areas where, you know, very different time frames. So my most recent one was just in Canada. You know, that's not as far, but, you know, it's I got to accommodate to as many as I can. So I'm on Pacific time. So it's only 6 o'clock here for right now. So I'm going to try to accommodate as well as I can, but the way I'm going to accommodate the best I can is getting information and feedback from people. So, you know, I'm curious to hear the, you know, interest in it, what times would work best for people. You know, some people might be available to do a lunchtime type thing, you know, or is it after dinner or something like that? But really the point is we're training. So it's a way for you to learn to improve your body. You know, yes, this is going to be, you know, a small rate fee for the class.
Sure.
It's going to be, you know, something simple. We want to try to get a lot of people involved, but just kind of make it, you know, worth it for everybody and the whole party there. So, you know, teaching and learning, you know, about individual little spots, and then eventually, you know, creating advanced classes. If people want to go to a second stage, the sky is the limit, but we do all got to start, you know, in a certain spot too. So, you know, right now, just my thought is, some kind of maybe Wednesday or Saturday even, you know, is an option there. I'm thinking 30 to 40 minutes for, you know, movement. We'll probably talk for 10 minutes, get, you know, a little bit of the details out and, you know, make people try to include as much as they can. You do not have to have your video on. You can do it on your own. You know, we can do this from a seated position, a standing position, a kneeling position, you know, whatever is best, most comfortable for you. And then, of course, you know, that's when we can create kind of individual relationships and we can talk about individual needs if we need that. You know, and sometimes you just maybe need a couple of individual sessions and then you can get into a group class. And, you know, I think even just creating that community could be a really strong part too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, you might meet people, you might meet friends, you might meet someone that doesn't live very far from you that has it. So, you know, I have a lot of people that I've been connected with in the East Coast area, and a lot of them are not very far from each other. So I would assume, you know, the in between the East Coast and West Coast, there's also people that would love to hear some of this information. So I'd love to try to get, you know, more of that out. It's kind of the idea with the class.
That would be awesome. So I keyed in on a couple of things you were saying there. You know, you're right. We don't want to make you commit to something now, but I think just the promise that this is something that will happen in 2021. If you want to get some input from people, maybe even now, you know, is there somewhere that you want them to send that? Like, hey, Mitch, I would be interested. And this is my ideal time frame. And obviously you're trying to compile some of those responses. So is there a platform you want people to reach out to and let you know?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. I think the best way right now would just be through my Gmail business account. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not a business account because it's just on Gmail, but it's mwadefit, M-W-A-D-E-F-I-T at gmail.com. And that's the email that I use for my business. And so I'll be, you know, I check that daily, multiple times a day, and it'll be the easiest way to reach me. I have had a lot of people reach out on the ramp.fitness website. Okay. And that works too. It just takes a little bit longer as it usually comes from our IT guy. So, you know, kind of makes a little bit of a delayed response, but I will still get them eventually and I will get back to you. But yes, that is a great question because that is one of my biggest, you know, kind of things is kind of just seeing where people are with that idea. You know, we've done a lot of the webinars and some of the radio shows now and had a lot of good feedback. So I'd be curious to see if we were to put a little bit more effort into, you know, giving you guys a little bit more individual, you know, kind of attention slash with maybe a small group,
right?
You know, but it would be a little bit more into specifics. You know, we can obviously have questions, you know, from the people in the group of things to go over for, you know, future episodes or, you know, workouts and stuff like that. So getting the feedback is really the best way to probably get this ball rolling for us.
So I'm about to post that on the little comment section for everybody, your cool. email.
Sounds
so
great.
You said it was M as in your first initial,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And then Wade Fit.
Yep.
At gmail.com.
You've got it.
Boom. All right. I posted that for everybody. Okay. So get after it.
Perfect.
Folks.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. Cause I think for me that actually sounds really exciting. Cause that's actually what I need too. I need a community. I think it'd be a lot more fun. It'd be really interesting. It would be interesting too, that where it could be kind of, I don't know, something like you mentioned where you could find out that you're actually closer to people. And I don't know. I think that's just the right way to do it. I think it'd be a lot more fun.
Absolutely.
It's my exercise is a social experience. I mean, mm-hmm. that's part of the, it's not just, oh, I feel stronger, which is great. And or I'm more functional. When I'm with my friend, when I'm with Mitch, it's fun, you know, and that's part of the reason why I want to continue doing. When I'm with Judy exercising, it's fun.
Right.
So if it's something hard to do, and exercise or committing to any new habit is hard to do, you've got to make it easy for yourself, and having some intrinsic rewards is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Unlike the people who start a gym membership, you know, in January, that's how the gyms used to make their money.
Yeah,
as I'm told, you have to, you know, really put it on your calendar. You got to make it. It's not just buying the membership. It's not just subscribing to whatever, you know, Mitch comes up with. It's committing to do it, to do it, scheduling it, making it happen with a friend, with a partner. That's going to be important, because you're not going to realize benefits, I don't think, unless you've done it for some months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a big commitment that way. So this is something, Mitch, that obviously you're going to do some way virtually via Zoom or whatnot, whatever platform you choose. And it sounds like what you'll be videoing, at least yourself, streaming it out there, and those that want to have their video on. For me, I would personally want that. So in case, I mean, would this be something where if I was acting out the movements you were showing, and if I was doing them, if you could tell if I was doing something slightly off or incorrect, if I had a correction needed or a question,
yep.
Is that something then that you're kind of hoping for, kind of like that direct interaction?
Yeah, that's exactly the hope. I'm you know, I'd love to try to find a way where I could do a pre-recording, have that on for you guys to watch,
and then
me be in the background, being able to give individual attention,
right?
You know, and individual cues. I don't know if that's possible through Zoom, besides just putting literally a pre-recording up in front of the picture or in front of the camera and then me, you know, so it's possible, but I have a feeling there's probably another, you know, whether it's an app or a software, you know, program that allows you to do so. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we go through again, you know, more and more effort can come, you know, and be involved in this idea. It's just more so as well to the feedback and interest we're getting from others. So I don't want to put a whole bunch in there and then we just don't really have too much interest, and that's okay if it's that direction, but you know, we want to try to get a little bit of feedback there so we can take those next steps.
Well, it sounds like this is a good platform then for our New Year's resolution, I think, is what Bill was alluding to there, right? We sign up our gym memberships and we don't go come February.
you're like, it is very
that.
Real.
Yeah, this would be very real. No, I really like that. Anything else Absolutely. You guys want to chime in with before we wrap it up?
I think I've got to get going. So I've got to keep it to that little section there. I've got okay. my podcast that I got to jump into. So I wanted to keep it there, and I would love to hear some good feedback from people. So please reach out.
We're going to talk about you, Mitch, when you sign off. Okay.
That's okay. I'm all right with that. As long
you know
as
it's going to happen.
Things. Oh yeah. That's okay. All good things though, only. So it was great to see you, gentlemen, Tim.
Yes,
I will
well,
probably
Mitch.
See you next radio show. So we'll keep
Wait,
in touch.
Wait, you called Tim the gentleman, but you didn't say me. I was not the gentleman.
Well, I get to see you tomorrow. So okay. I'll oh, finish okay. with that
then
part.
Then you're the gentleman. Yeah.
Yes,
thanks,
exactly.
Mitch. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much. For
Absolutely.
Your time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to everyone. Have a good night.
Man, so that's going to be tough, though, right, Bill? I mean, since, you know, people have a tendency to drop their New Year's resolution.
People do. People do. And I think the idea of delayed gratification, how do you do something long enough to actually benefit from it? That's a tough trick mm-hmm. to teach
yeah.
young or old. So one thing that I have done is sort of link, you know, exercise to like a reward. Well, the reward with exercise is I like seeing Mitch. He's essentially a friend
yeah.
who is my trainer. But when I see my friend Peter when we go to Pittick, that's a reward itself. Mm-hmm. If I have built-in reminders in my office, I have the TRX straps. So a day okay. doesn't go by when I'm not using them because the cue is, oh, I see it over there. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And the first few days, it took there was a lot more inertia in doing it, but it requires less. I mean, it's not such a big deal for me now to brush my teeth twice a day. That's
yeah.
firmly ingrained. But when I was a kid, you know, good luck with that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a real struggle here in this house with our kids.
How old are your kids?
Oh, they're 14 and 11. There should be no fighting about it, but there still is. Yes, yes. Oh,
yeah,
man, I tell you. So, yeah, well, and even for them, right? It's still a human issue of motivation, or is it reward, or coaching them. So if I coach baseball teams and try to get them motivated to train, and I loved what Mitch said about training, because like I hate the word practice or workout, because workout has the word work in it, and immediately my brain's like, I don't want to work.
Right.
So, you know, I remember one time my kid asked me when I went out to work, he said, Dad, do you like work? I'm like, well, no, I'm going to work. I'm not going to fun. I mean, it can be fun. You make the best of it, but is there other things I'd rather do? So for me, the training, it sounds commitment driven. It sounds like you're going to learn something new. You know, we've all had, I'm sure all of us have had a job where we've had our first day, and they don't practice the job with you. They train the job to you. So it's a matter of learning something new, challenging yourself to get a little bit better. Right. So I love that. I love saying, training. So I think
I think a growth mindset is really important, because it's I'm a little bit greedy for improvement. It's not enough for me to just stay where I am. I actually want to get stronger. Mm. I want to get more mobile. I'm not content with staving off decline anymore.
Right.
I want to get stronger. Wow. And I've seen that, and I want to continue that.
So then you're going to join in then on if Mitch goes virtual with all of us, we're going to see you there.
You're going to see me in spandex and sparkles.
Oh my gosh. Man, you had me at spandex and then you added the sparkles on top.
just the spandex alone got you, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe sparkles is too much.
Maybe. Well,
maybe sparkles is too much.
On the spandex would be great, you know. Almost like a disco ball look. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You gotta go with it.
I would
participate with Mitch. Partly, I'm very eager to promote exercise in this community. I mean,
yeah.
If I've said this before and I'll say it again. If we had a drug available now, which did for me what exercise has done for me, we would all be paying lots and lots of money and, you know, talking to our insurers and our doctors to get us the stuff. And hey, this is available. And there's no reason not to do it now, so that when the inevitable drug comes out that will help us, we'll be strong enough to benefit from it.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Kind of get your body ready, train it to be ready for when the treatments come out, that the exercise has kind of pushed us that proper direction. I think that's a great motivation all in itself.
Yeah, I'm actually really an optimist in that way. I see so much development. You know, it's hard to perceive exponential growth, you know, at an early stage, but the CRISPR-9 technology, the messenger RNA technology that went into the vaccine development,
right,
unheard of to create a vaccine within less than a year. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All this stuff is going to come at us. So I think it'd be good to be strong and supple and be able to take advantage of it. It's probably going to be the case that the medications are going to be more useful at staving off decline rather than rebuilding what we've lost.
Right.
But exercise is capable of doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bill, for joining us again in another episode of, you know, I still got to come up with some great, you know, music just for you guys, you know, like,
we get our own music.
Yeah. I think you guys have earned
wow.
that. You're kind of that, you know,
wow.
all-star guest.
I'm
keep
flattered.
Coming back. Yeah. I'll definitely work on that.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
You too, Bill.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that is Bill and Mitch, and they are just phenomenal people, right? Because they're giving us the roadmap, folks. You just got to follow the path a little bit. And I know 2020 has sucked, and we can kind of kick the door in on 2021 soon here. And I think this is really hopeful news. And I, for one, am going to join this. I will. You will see me there. I will not be in spandex like Bill said, but I will definitely be there. And I will cheer you all on if you cheer me on. And I think it'd be a blast for our community to have something like that. I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd be awesome. Moving forward, kind of shifting gears just a slight. These holiday seasons here, Christmas is what? Christmas Eve is like a week away. Christmas Day, you know, right around the corner. And I'll be taking a couple weeks off this is the last show for 2020, and taking some time just doing the holiday thing with my family and kind of regrouping. The focus at this point going into 2021 will be probably monthly shows, kind of back like we used to. However, if the community calls on me to say, hey, man, can you go back to a couple times a month or once a week if I can, I'll do what I can if it appears the need is there. For me, it's about juggling time. My baseball season ramps up big time come January honestly, all the way to the end of July, to be quite fair. And I have three clubs that I work with and three teams that I work with. So along with my own kids in classes for ball and stuff like that. So the shift is going to be, you know, a show a month again. We're going to go to Tuesdays because that, like I said, based on the calendar, what I got. So the next one's going to be January 12th. So just throwing that out there. If we have time for more episodes and we can kind of expand it, we will. But I kind of wanted to let it breathe a little bit first. So I'm looking forward to the shift and the transition to it all and still continuing this with the community. It's been always a lot of fun. And those special events throughout the year will still continue. FSHD World Day and the Walk and Roll and Giving Tuesday, the marathon event we do in December, and all those things should still be, you know, happening for us in 2021. And I look forward to all those events. Maybe even some different things will come in. So, yeah. Within that spirit, you know, I did read, I'm a big fan of Lee Reynolds with the FSHD Society, and she wrote something great, A Gift You Give to Yourself by Lee Reynolds. I don't know if you've read this, but I highlighted a couple things. And what it really is you know, wishing everybody a wonderful holiday season, of course, within it, but also some kind of reminders. I know we've talked about the mental side in past episodes, and today was the physical side of FSHD. And this is kind of the, kind of just some nice reminders that Lee pointed out in this article. So I really implore you to read it on FSHDSociety.org site. But I wanted to kind of pinpoint on a couple things before we give you the events and close up shop for the year. Some of the articles, the parts I liked was remembering the meaning. You know, it says, what is the true meaning of the holiday we celebrate? What is the most practical, meaningful way we can honor this meaning? Whatever that is for you. What traditions are most meaningful to us? What typical activities could we let go of without feeling a real sense of loss? And I think those kind of key points, those four that I first started reading, are really key. I am a Catholic, so, you know, I've done the Christmas Eve masses and things. It's always been kind of traditional for me since I've grown up, and it'll be tough with COVID. We'll do it virtual this year. There's a transition for me. I'm trying to still stay somewhat away from groups and gatherings till I get vaccinated, which I plan on doing. And that's going to be a sacrifice. I usually would gather with my parents who are elderly, and that's not going to happen. It might be a quick hello, Merry Christmas kind of exchange of well wishes outside in the cold here in Wisconsin for a couple of minutes, but that's it. And it's a little depressing for me because I couldn't help but think, man, it's almost like a flash into what Christmas would be like possibly without my folks. That's just kind of sad. But I got to shake myself out of that. And this article is really what I needed and kind of redirect my focus and really what are the traditions that mean the most. And some of those still mean a lot to me, and maybe we can carry those out as a family to whatever pivot or way we can do it. So I wanted you to keep that in mind. As I continue to read the article, I love the challenge traditions create new ones, you know. Challenge those things you do. You know, the church I belong to, the pastor always says during holiday time, the priest says, you know, if you don't like giving holiday cards or don't like making Christmas cookies, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't put that stress on yourself. If it feeds the spirit of the holiday for yourself or for me gets me ready for Christ coming, then that's what I'm going to do because that's what the season's about. But everything else, you should really kind of be realistic about it. Lee went on to say throughout her article that she wrote, put yourself at the top of your holiday giving list too. Give yourself the gift of peace of mind. Allow yourself to receive. This point can be extremely important, Lee says, for caregivers that are so used to giving of themselves. But caregivers need to hear the healing message that they are worthy of receiving and that they are loved and appreciated, not just for what they do, but for who they are. And that is hugely important. And it always pivots me to that great caregiver, sharegiver hour that Sue Drescher puts on. That will be December 29th, a great opportunity to kind of give back to yourself, to engage in that community. Lee continues to say, season of giving doesn't mean you have to give up your own space, leading you to be worn out, emotionally and physically exhausted, right? That's kind of what we always say. Pace yourself, listen to your body, know what you can do and what you can't do, especially of us with FSHD. And I know this can be a difficult time for some, normally not, you know, outside of the fact there's a pandemic and COVID-19 puts restrictions on certain things and takes away others. How do you stay mentally prepared for that day of when this isn't going to be maybe the same or this is going to be even harder than maybe you expected? Reach out to the community. I know I'll still be poking around on Facebook. You can always send me a message that way. I can interact with you a little bit that day. Try to lift your spirits. Don't forget the community that you're involved with, if it's virtually or otherwise. Stay connected during those days. You feel like yourself is getting a little blue. Reach out to somebody about it. This is not always a happy time for everybody, which is obviously understandable, and very understandable considering these times. So there's ways to connect, right? Set up that Zoom call that includes time for interactive activities or games. Record a video greeting and send to loved ones. That's a good idea. Write and mail good old-fashioned letters to those, even though I just said, you know, my priest said, if you don't like doing that, don't do it. Forgo the text and set aside some time to talk with someone on the phone instead of just texting them. And look forward to what's next, Lee finishes the article, and she says, in a typical year, the holiday season can be a mixed of a bag of relief, fatigue, joy, and depression. And with this year, right, the pandemic has definitely offered a lot of those things. Find something to look forward to. Think about a goal you can set as you walk into the end of 2020 into 2021, which I think a lot of us are looking forward to. Let's just be honest there. So thanks, Lee Reynolds, for offering that article. I love it. I enjoyed reading it. It was a quick read. And yeah. So as we transition, close up shop, thank you all for being a part of this show. Thanks to Bill and Mitch for joining us today. They are amazing guests as we talk about the physical side of FSHD and having those workouts ready to launch probably sometime in mid to late January. Let's not give Mitch too much pressure. I posted Mitch's email there. Please email him, ask him, or let him know if you'd be available to work out, if you're interested to do so. And if so, kind of when's the best time of day for you? Give your maybe area of the world or country that you're in, just to kind of let him gauge of when's the best time you can reach out to the majority of us. Now, as we talk about the events coming up, you can find all these events on fshdsociety.org. On the 17th, which is tomorrow, the FSHDU has another webinar. You should register for this if you can. It's between 1 to 2 p.m. Look like they're talking about knee hyperextension and spine issues. Lordosis is one of the issues when they're talking about spine issues. Bob Meyer in Ortho, he's an ortho, is going to be the guest speaker. On the 29th, talked about this before, the Caregiver Sharegiver Hour. Please join us for that. That's kind of right smack dab in the middle there of the, you know, holidays. Might be a good time to kind of shake some of those holiday blues if you happen to get them. If Sue invites me, I think I could, I might be able to make that actually. It's 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Walking into the new year, the Wellness Hour, that's also hugely important. After the holidays, look forward to this gathering as you kind of share some time with our community from 5 to 6 p.m. And then the FSHD radio show will return on the 12th. As there's a country music singer, I'm going to pull up the email June sent me just today. May Ryan Taylor. It's M-A-R-Y-N-N Taylor. She is going to join us. She has a song that I believe she wrote for her father, I believe, that has FSHD. So we're going to talk about her music. I love talking to musicians. Looking forward to that one. That's going to kind of kickstart our walk into the 2021 year, and hopefully, well, we'll see. You know, that's almost a month away from now. Man, how the world could be changing, hopefully for the better by then. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you so much for being a part of this community on this podcast, radio show thing we do, as we've been doing every week, and all the special events you've been a part of. Also, don't forget this other thing. I really can't stress this enough. There's still that giving match till the end of the year. Tell your friends, donate to the FSHD Society. Very simple donate button. I actually directed a cousin of mine that was interested to donate, directed him just to the main page there of fshdsociety.org and click the donate button. There's a match happening from now to the 31st. Join in now, kind of double that up. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. So I wish you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Find these podcast episodes on any platform you find podcasts, Spotify, Google, etc. I'm going to start slowly releasing the interviews from the Radiothon as well to kind of give you a little something to fill the gap between now and when we talk again on the 12th of January. But until then, like I said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, take care, and you've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.